RadioInfluence.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Friday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with...
Thank God it's Friday, Val, and...
Beans! We missed Wednesday, Frank.
Yeah, we missed Wednesday. This week is just... This whole week was a wash. It was weird anyway, so it's good that it's gone and we can have a fresh set of downs on Monday.
Yeah, and you know what? We did come through today with some interesting... an interesting surprise for everybody that was unscheduled, didn't we?
It was very interesting. I'm glad that it happened.
So Frank was unaware that there was an Exhibit 12, a very sparkly Exhibit 12 in the Mike Lindell lawsuit yesterday. He did a little documentary, a short half-hour little interview with one of these white hat hackers that works for the government that was able to take 20 of these packets that were captured on election night between five key swing states. So somebody who will learn the identity of soon, I think, from what Patrick said, right?
Yes.
Somebody captured the live traffic on election night that proves that there were hacks from China that came in to switch votes in the 2020 election. And Mike Lindell has included this in his recently filed lawsuit. He filed it yesterday against Dominion and Smartmatic for, what was it, Frank? $2 billion?
I don't know. All the numbers that have been floating around just hover around 2 billion.
Yeah, so he basically files this lawsuit, but it's not just any lawsuit. I think it's the precursor to a lot of things that are going to come because he files it and he talks about how it is basically because Dominion and other companies in the space are trying to squelch the speech of anybody who tries to say anything about election integrity. And they're wielding their great state power, which he argues brilliantly, actually, that these organizations have or companies have state power to silence dissent. And he goes through a history of these companies, how they were founded, the mergers and acquisitions that went on, who owned what tech, the documentation behind it. And then he uses the Democrats' own arguments throughout the past several years to demonstrate how vulnerable these machines are, including quasi-Vice President Kamala Harris.
Yeah, I think that's a really wonderful route to take there because we know that there is plenty on file from these people in the Democrat Party who have made very salient points about the ability to destroy the integrity of elections through the means that we have seen them destroyed. So they were warning us about it back, even as much as just a year and a half, 2 years ago. And now here we are. Let's see how much they're willing to stand by it.
Well, yeah. And I mean, you know, everybody, we talked about this in the interview and Patrick gives us some more hints of things to come. And I say, Patrick Byrne, it does not lie. He just does not lie. I've said this a million times. You can, you know, say what you want about his tactics or how he present things or whatever. He's never lied. I've never in all of the time that I've been following his writing and interviewing him and working, I've never seen him lie about anything, literally anything ever. I mean, he has no reason to, and he just doesn't do it. Now, could I ever be proven wrong? Of course, people are people and they could do something. But up to this point, I will vouch for Patrick Byrne in that he does not lie. Anytime he says something, he either knows it to be a fact or believes it is. Does that make sense?
It makes me excited about this month. We're going to get... Sounds like some real moving and shaking I think the big thing that you'll hear, and as we just went on through, is something that people have been grappling with for a while here. There are several really interesting state level operations going on to audit and get to the bottom of what really happened and how big the discrepancies really were during that week that the election was being stolen. And what this is really going to do is establish a new bit of inspiration for states all over the union, across the union, to go and start picking up their own investigations to see how affected they have been. Now, that's going to be also dependent on what kind of political powers control control the states, but we know that a lot of this can be done independently as well. And it has been done independently in some respects. So I think that going into this month and seeing what is going to actually come out of the Lindell efforts and Patrick Byrne in respectfully as well, is to just remember, you're not looking for some kind of a silver bullet that makes a completely and thoroughly corrupt and lost federal government to find Jesus and come to the light. This is more so about getting some really undeniable validation that inspires action across the union, where action needs to be reestablished, and that is states, local municipalities, all that stuff. So it's going to be interesting for June, and I'm looking forward to that. And of course, we're going to get UFO madness this month too. So there's just so much this month.
There is so much going on, and you know what? I honestly will not let the election integrity story die. I just won't let it happen. And I try to get on as many shows, Frank, to talk about it as I possibly can. But some of these bigger broadcast companies have like barred their hosts from even talking about anything related to election integrity because of whatever threats of lawsuits that Dominion has thrown out there at everyone. And so getting this information out to people through the normal channels has been somewhat difficult. We're not going to stop. There's detailed information at Uncover DC every single day, including this article that just got published this morning from John Nevin about the Pennsylvania delegation touring the Arizona audit, which we just talked to Patrick about a minute ago. If you notice at America Project, if you want to fund election integrity, you can fund the Arizona audit, and the America Project, which is a 501c4, is helping to pay a significant portion of the Arizona audit. So when everybody yells at Patrick Byrne for like asking for $5 on Locals to post, you know, occasional videos of insider information and things that he wants to share, I'm just getting sick of reading that stuff. It happens to me too. And at a smaller scale, because he's so much bigger and everyone says, oh, he's a billionaire, why does he need money? Cut it out. Just stop. It's gross. We're not socialists, are we? Are we?
I don't, for the most part. Yeah. I don't think so.
So in this article that John B. Nevin posted this morning, it says here, Senator Chris Dush from Pennsylvania has a background in protecting classified information for the Air National Guard of Pennsylvania and security for Strategic Air Command in the U.S. Air Force. He joined a show called Exposure for an hour to discuss discrepancies and talk about the audit process. This is a quote, nothing gets touched without documentation. The people who are doing the counting never touch the ballots. Somebody puts the ballots on the wheel. It works its way around the three observers. And then the fourth person repeats the number as he takes the ballot off. The ballots are going back into the box in the exact same order that they got them. That is the level that they're taking on this. It is evident in every way they're going through the process. Like there are military folks who are serving in Pennsylvania now who have said that they don't even see this level of scrutiny and chain of custody in the military. So just saying that. And then I don't want us to forget about COVID, Frank. Don't want us.
What's there to forget?
Just saying. I don't want us to think that COVID's gone away or anything. This weekend, we'll have some information from the Fauci emails. And hopefully today, there will be a very lengthy piece that has been published at uncoverdc.com. You remember Wendy the other day wrote that piece about the PCR testing?
Yes.
She had been contacted by a whistleblower from North Dakota. And when you read the information that has been provided and the work that Wendy has done, the investigative, real journalism on this piece, Frank, it is about labs in North Dakota and how they've handled the PCR testing. And there is documentation here that is probably going to make everybody's head spin. It is something else. Bombshell story.
Well.
That will be publishing hopefully today. Hopefully she's still working on it and finishing some stuff up. But I don't want to keep anybody waiting any longer. We'll have a little bit of a shorter show today because I'm here at Rock the Red in Greenville, South Carolina. You know what I'm doing today, Frank?
What?
I'm meeting with the BBC.
The media company?
Yes.
Okay. And what the hell is that going to be all about?
Well, we'll see.
They're going to put you in a in another documentary?
Yeah, probably. Likely. But at least I'll have a voice in this one.
Jeez.
God help me.
Do you know what they want to talk to you about?
Yes, I do. I do. But I don't want to share it just in case they don't want anyone to know what they're doing yet. So I'm going to try and, even though I don't know how well they'll do this, I have no reason at this point to believe they will be unfair, but you all know how that goes.
Right.
So I'll just let everybody wait and see what happens, I guess. And I'll fill you in on the experience on Monday, but that's happening in a few minutes. Yay.
Beautiful. Well, let us all know.
So here is Patrick Byrne with Frank and I talking about the Mike Lindell lawsuit and what it means for the future. Pretty exciting. All right. So excited to be joined by friend of the show, Patrick Byrne. Frank and I are excited to talk to you today. Patrick, how you doing?
Tracy, honored to be on with you and Frank again.
So there's been a lot going on. Of course, you have been talking a lot about the America Project and what you guys are all doing out there. So we'll get into that for a little bit. But I also want to talk to you about this lawsuit that dropped yesterday where Mike Lindell is suing Dominion and Smartmatic. And in there is an exhibit that you've asked us to all focus on, Exhibit 12, as it's known now.
Correct.
So.
Yeah, well, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I didn't know you were going to keep talking, so I started again. Go ahead.
Well, Exhibit 12. I take it, knowing you are such a careful researcher, I bet you have studied Exhibit 12. I bet you've practically memorized Exhibit 12, have you not?
Exhibit 12 is very, very, very interesting, Patrick, isn't it?
Can somebody let me in what Exhibit 12 is? Because I'm very interested.
Well, Tracy, before we let Frank in on the secret, do you remember over the last couple months, well, I started saying around December that I'm 100% confident that this was rigged. And Lindell has been saying for the last couple months, oh, this is going to be a 9-0 decision. That's because of that data. That data and the broader loaf, that's one slice out of a loaf of data that itself will give you a heart attack. But that one slice that you're looking at is Exhibit 12. And what that shows is in 5 key swing states. May I continue, Tracy? Or do you
keep going. Keep talking.
What it shows is in the 5 key swing states of Arizona, it's the normal 6 that it's the big 6 that I normally talk about. Only this is, it's not Nevada. This analysis leaves out Nevada. So it's Arizona, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Georgia. I'm a deadhead. Is that why you're playing the Grateful Dead in the background?
Nobody's playing anything in the background.
There's no music right now.
Okay, well, that's me. I'm sorry. That might be me. Okay.
Yes, you are a deadhead, aren't you?
I guess so. I popped up. It's funny. I thought, geez, they came on just as I came on the show. I thought you must have done some research on me. Okay. What it shows is that in those 5 key swing states, there were 20 cyber attacks out of China. And we have the packet capture data. And what packet capture is, at the most fundamental, of course, level, as data moves around the internet, whether it's television or radio or our voices or your insurance claim or something, it's broken up in little tiny packets, and those packets can be recorded at certain junctures, and it's the rawest, it's like the raw chemical reaction, so to speak, and it's the most very atomic level of communication across the internet, and that was captured and has been exploited and reconstructed, and what it shows with 100% clarity is if we had not just the DNA at a crime scene, a DNA of the murderer, but we have the videotape of the guy doing the murder in a computer forensic sense. And that is, those 5 states had 555,864 votes flipped by 20 cyber attacks out of China. Now, there were more cyber attacks out of China against those 5 states, and there were more cyber attacks out of other nations that as well, that could have actually been China B as well. But those attacks out of China, those 20, just those 20 flipped 555,864 votes, which was more than enough to flip those 5 key swing states. Those swing states collectively have 73 electoral votes. So in the absence of this action by China, Joe Biden would have had 233 electoral votes. Now, that's not including all kinds of other levels of the grift, of the rig, from retail things like the you know, non-citizens voting or dead 200 dead people in Philadelphia voting, to the wholesale level grifts that we've heard about, like people feeding stacks of ballot, blank ballots over and over again through a machine. But this is industrial level, 555,000 votes from just 20 documentable cyber attacks alone. And we have the computer packet capture data. It's just like a recording of the packets as they move through the internet. It's like the fingerprints. It's like having the fingerprints, the DNA, and a movie. There's nothing to dispute at this point.
So the only question that I have as an enterprising sort of like thinker, I guess I could call myself, who captured them?
All will be explained in good time. Entrants on the field I'm going to leave that up to Lindell. And I should make clear, Lindell and I are not partners. We don't coordinate. It's more like we both know the same people and we're both digging at the same truth. And we're both in the same mind digging. And some of this, the people in my book that I describe as the bad news bears, when Lindell says he came in January 9th and learned about something that really made it ironclad, and he got behind some white hat hackers, many of them are the same people that are described in my book as the bad. Some of them are the same people as those described in my book as the bad news bears. So we all know each other and we see each other as allies in this fight.
Yeah.
And I can tell you the capture data, the packet capture data makes it all indisputable. It's just a question of how corrupt or how responsive are the institutions at this point.
Yeah, that's the bigger thing, because, you know, of course, wherever this is brought up, any kind of if it's posted on a message board or if it's brought up in a broadcast, the comment sections will be full of a lot of disoriented and very downtrodden people who will say, all right, yeah, I mean, this is really damning, but what the hell is going to come of it? You know, a 9-0 Supreme Court decision of any kind coming from this Supreme Court that sat on its hands when there was time to evaluate real Article 2 violations just mechanically. Do you have any kind of confidence outside of what you're about to present to the public?
Well, something's got to give. There's three different routes to the Supreme Court, and one of them is you're going to see states start decertifying their electoral votes or recalling their electoral votes. And there's a real movement in the states already to have audits. There's whole states that are going to conduct audits. We, you know, as these in many, many counties, as these counties vote to conduct an audit, the next thing they do is to call us and they say, okay, what's an audit? What's a real audit? What's a forensic audit? So, you know, we're teaching them that the kind of auditing that's ever been done is a joke. It's, you know, you turn on the machine as you hold two buttons down and it runs an internal test and it pops up and it tells you what version of software it's running and that it did an internal test and it all checks out. And they say, you know, that's what they consider an audit. Now, these are people who are imaging hard drives, looking at logs, where there are logs. Of course, we know in Antrim County, Michigan, someone erased the log on the night of November 4th at 11:03. So we know that they're trying to do smashdowns, but there's too much for them to do smashdowns. And at this point, this has been acquired in a way that they can't smash down, because smashdown is a hacker's term for when they go in, like if they know that we were coming into Maricopa, they broke all the chain of title, which I think is a federal crime, certainly a state crime. There are people who have a duty to maintain this chain of title. Well, when it all got delivered over to the stadium, you can see from the letter that this Senate president wrote that there was no chain of title. It was chain of title back to just the Maricopa County Election Board, but no chain of title on any of the materials that had come up from the precincts and the counties and accumulated up to the Maricopa County Election Board. And in the letter that the Senate president sent over, that was one of the issues she raised. And they wrote back and said, oh, no, no, we provided you the chain of title back to the Maricopa County Election Board, and we're not going to answer any more questions, which tells me that they're just talking through their hat. They know. So anyway, they had weeks or months to fix the data, to get on the machines, to do what's called a smashdown. And, you know, maybe they succeeded, maybe not. It, you know, there was an allegation in Arizona that they erased some files. And they gave a kind of weaselly answer saying, no, we didn't. But and it was a real weaselly answer. My money's on the cyber ninjas or the people. My money is going to be if they say these guys erase files, they erase files. But let's see what their final determination is. So these guys are trying to smash down the data. But the data behind that I'm talking about now, and that is in Exhibit 12, is not something that they can be fixed. It comes from raw, the most raw level on the internet of packet capture. And it's all been reconstructed with a huge amount of decryption. It's all been reconstructed. That's what took so many months. But that data is just one slice out of a broader loaf that's going to shock the world.
I don't have any doubt. And the funny thing is, too, is that looking into these exhibits, Patrick, one of the things that I noted is, you know, Mike included a lot of the stuff that Dominion had already sent in cease and desist and preservation and, you know, kind of trying to refute all of the things that we've been saying. And they sent this months ago. And since then, all of the things they've said have come to be untrue. Obviously, we know that that's going to happen. So they're literally now on the record lying about things we've now learned they were lying about then, and they knew they were, i.e., you know, that all these people said that there was a legal, everything was great and above board, and there were no issues with the machines. Well, now we've learned in Arizona that there were. So, you know, they know that they've been lying, and now we've got them literally on the record lying, and it's inside of this lawsuit in these exhibits.
Exactly. And what is going to prove to be exceptional about America is this happened in dozens of other countries, and they go down, and some of them fight back and they go down. But in America, we are so freedom loving. We did not let this die, and we kept pushing. And this is all going to turn into more audits. And as audits turn up more stuff, you know, in Fulton County, Georgia, the election board just lured the hell off. They just lured up with the best criminal defense lawyers in Georgia. And we've both seen that's always the next thing is they start making deals. So this is just going to spread and spread. We may have all 50 states have audits. So I think that's what's going to prove to be exceptional about America, that in other countries it all got normalized. But here, because of your listeners and millions of people, tens, hundreds of millions of people like your listeners, we are not letting this get normalized. I can tell you it's moved in the last month. It's moved 1.2% in our direction in terms of the belief in that cheating played a significant or a very significant role in Biden's victory. So people, and it's well over 50% now. So maybe over 60% in a truly representative sample. So we are making progress, but everyone has a role, and everyone has a role, man. If you've ever had felt obligations as a citizen, now is the time to stay interested, stay alert, and stay involved.
Agreed. You've seen a lot of like sort of pacification and nothing's ever going to change, but that's in the face of seeing things already changing. The courage that the Arizona Senate has to have to continue through with this and be the beacon for the rest of the country, because what just happened a few days ago, we had Pennsylvania touring the facility there and some really amazing comments. Can you share anything about that from your perspective?
Well, I just know that the Pennsylvania folks, the legislators and stuff went down there. I know they went down there and they got tours of the facility and had things explained to them. But I really, because I really do want not to give anyone reason to gripe later, I keep a real arm's length from the actual operations of what's going on in Arizona. So, but I do know that the Pennsylvania people went down. I think I was told that they were impressed. I think I was given the sense that they were impressed. It's running like butter, you know, it's smooth as butter down there in Arizona. It's kind of funny. There was this 1 week pause, as you know, as they used the stadium for some high school graduations. Before the pause, they were using contractors who came in with temps. after the pause, and that was just so they could launch quickly and get going. But in the middle of that first period, they built systems that let volunteers check in, and they got that spun up. So after the pause, they've relied mostly on volunteers, and it's running even better. It's running smoother and cheaper and faster. It's great.
Yeah, and it's going to be a cookie cutter. It's going to be a cookie cutter for everywhere else, because this is going to happen in other places. Pennsylvania, obviously Georgia, Michigan, Wisconsin. I totally see it. I don't know what's festering in Nevada, but I can expect that they'll feel the pressure and do it as well. And the one thing I've noticed since the end of this year or the end of last year is that these guys, they don't care. You know, the elections aren't real right now as far as it stands, but we'll get there. They care more about people getting angry and being, you know, at their doors and calling them and pressuring them than they do about anything else. And so we've been able to corral the American citizen to get involved in this process. What have you learned about Americans since you started doing this that has raised your spirits a little?
Oh, really? That the spirit of liberty hasn't died? That I'm not a voice? Clemento and Deserto, Vox Clemento and Deserto is the Dartmouth logo, is a voice crying in the wilderness. It turns out there's a great many ordinary Americans. You know, I did my PhD in the history of this stuff, of the political theory that arose to our Constitution. But for other people, it's just their DNA. For people like you, it's, well, you know all that too, but it's your DNA. It's the DNA of Americans. And I've actually, you know, I walked away really. I was raised, I majored in Catholic and I minored in Jew. So I know a lot about both. But I kind of left all that, you know, by the time I got to college and stuff. But I'm so happy to discover there's 100 million Americans. We have our grassroots, cellular grassroots organization already built. It's called the Christian Church. It's out there, it's already built for us. Everything we need to keep to make it impossible for these goons to roll over. And really, the thing to remember, I mean, I know everybody's prepping and getting ready and wants to talk about that and think about that, but this is an information war, and we can win it without firing a shot. I think from an informational point of view, I'd say we've kind of got the upper hand at this point. Wouldn't you say, Tracy?
Yes, I think that you're absolutely right. I said something yesterday that I can't explain it any other way. I'm just going to read it to you really quickly, what I said. I said, Mike Lindell's lawsuit is the bombshell of bombshells. If bombshells had a smarter older cousin, Mike Lindell's lawsuit would be the Chuck Norris of it. Because it's true. It really is. This lawsuit is free of hyperbole, free of conjecture. It tells the story from start to finish of these companies with sourced factual data and their own words. And I love the way he artfully brings in the Democrats as the key foundation for the fact that these machines are vulnerable.
Right. Right. There's been, you know, up until October, the most ubiquitous political belief you could find was that our elections were vulnerable to being hacked. And strident in their belief were a number of Democratic politicians and leaders, senators like Amy Klobuchar. They're the ones on HBO. A year ago, HBO had a documentary about just how amazingly vulnerable our systems were. It's only, you know, somehow it's become verboten to it's a thought crime to now consider the possibility of election fraud. But it's funny, you know, at the New York Times, it's a thought crime now. But 2 years ago, they wrote an article, I hacked an election, so could the Russians. Something like this, all about how amazingly vulnerable these systems are. They're really quite crap, if you ask me. It's a guy who built a $2 billion e-commerce company. There's a whole bunch of, well, but they never expected to be held to account. And they certainly didn't expect to be held to account for this election. They thought it was going to be stolen. Biden would be in. Everything would be normalized, suppressed, or if they had to, you know, pardoned. So there's a real arrogance with these people. They knew that this was discoverable. They've just been playing rope-a-dope.
Patrick, let me ask you something that's slightly off topic, but not quite, because, of course, the big story of 2020, the reason why we were able to create the reason why it was able to be created, this cloud of chaos in which this kind of a operation, multi-layered operation, can be pulled off, and in the cloud of that chaos have some kind of cover there for the mail-in voting, for everything, for people having to stay home, the economy having to be destroyed, all that stuff. As we're crawling out of that now, and all of these audits and these investigations, and now the lawsuit is coming forward to try to bring some really sanitizing light to the whole election thing. There's another thing that's building up in the background, and that is, since you bring up, you know, your entrepreneurial background in e-commerce, but there is this rising tide of cyber attacks. Now, and cyber attacks are in the background of this lawsuit in itself, as you just said, but in a larger scheme, those who are telling us and game planning and simulating what would have been a global pandemic are have also been saying that we're going to be falling under the grip of a cyber pandemic since last summer. So my question is, Do you see this as anything that could be overcome without there being anything catastrophic that's thrown in our way? I can see this as a really hard thing to overcome if meat packing plants are down, if oil pipelines and gasoline pipelines are down. It would kind of make going after the election auditing, the election of 2020, seem like a trivial pursuit in the face of the chaos that is already being layered in with this rising tide of cyber attacks, they're saying.
Except it shouldn't be a trivial pursuit because it's just part of the It's part of, this is a psyop to take over our country. And the November 2020 election was, I believe, part of it. So it can't, you can't set it aside. We need to understand this is what the Chinese are so good at. You know, they're very intellectual about how they approach these matters. And they must laugh at the political way in which, you know, they think for the long term, and they have really good doctrine that I'm quite familiar with, and they're very patient and thoughtful about it. So I can tell you, yeah, this is a plan to take out the United States, reduce us to a vassal state. You will wake up, you know, as Jefferson said, if we ever have a central bank, or someday Americans will wake up as paupers in the land their forefathers conquered. Well, that's on the verge of happening. It's going to happen much quicker than you expect. You can expect at the outside in 10 years, I think you will have prison camps next to hospitals where they are extracting the organs of people like us to sustain the life of the party leaders, great leaders. So, and it's happening much quicker. Read your history of China, 1949 to 1955. It happened, it really happened in 3 years, but to the outside in 6 years, such that after 6 years, Mao thought he cleaned up all the opposition. He thought it was done enough that in 1956, he had the open, the let a thousand flowers bloom campaign, or let a hundred flowers bloom campaign, because he thought he had sort of wiped out the opposition by 6 years in. And it turns out when he let a hundred flowers bloom, everybody came out and a lot of people were unhappy, and he rounded them all up again in another wave. Eventually, the Chinese learned to just never open your mouth, no matter what, when they tell you it's okay to. So it happened over really a few years. And I mean, look at how they're moving now. They're talking about, you know, making 52.4% of the American people hold beliefs that they want to declare is an act of domestic terrorism, to even mention it. You know, the possibility that 2020 was elected. Was rigged. So these guys are going full goon. I do like to see that they are crumbling, but with the information in this lawsuit and other information to come in the month of June before July 4th, it will completely, you know, they may have information dominance, but we have truth, and that will win us the information war. Just takes a little bit longer. And the truth is all coming out in the month of June. And this Lindell thing is just part of it.
Yeah, and I wanted to just say, you know, if there's one thing that I learned, Patrick, about you very early on, because we've been talking for quite some time now, is that you do not lie. there. And, you know, people get frustrated about like, oh, this will happen on this day and then it doesn't and blah, blah, blah. But I have to tell you, you're going to come through on everything that you're saying. And I just want people to take a breath, stop being so nasty all the time and give you a little bit of slack. What you and your teams have done for this country in the past, I don't know, 7 months, let alone what you've done previously, is something that we should all be thanking you for and supporting you through. And I'm going to be doing that. So I just wanted to put that out there for everybody.
Oh, Shaw. Yeah. That's very, it was my honor. It really is my honor. This country's been better to me than I had any right to expect or any merit actually deserved. So it's my honor to be able to do this. I'll go to the firing squad on this. I'll spend every last penny if I have to.
You're awesome.
I feel... people can help. People can help. Go to the American Project. If you want to send a text, text 845-76. Text the word USA to 845-76. 8, then 45, like the 45th president, 76, as in 1776. 845-76, the word USA. Join our network. And we have the movie, The Deep Rig, coming out on Juneteenth. People can go to the website, thedeeprig.movie, and sign up for a showing. If you only sign up for a showing, have a showing in your living room, have 10 friends over, please, we are bypassing the capture. It's really a heck of a movie. It's really quite powerful. Tracy, I've seen it with some people who are vets, and you should just see their blood pressure going through the roof. Normally, cool as cucumber kind of guys, they couldn't even contain themselves. So people are going to, this is really going to be quite a disturbing movie. And it's very factual. It's very scientific. A lot of science, mathematicians, this kind of stuff.
It's going to be a great movie to watch. I'm excited to see the full thing, kind of because, we've been living it, right? And so I'm excited to just watch what I've been living for the past 6-7 months. And so do you have anything else juicy you can tell us before we let you go, Patrick?
Yes, there'll be another, there'll be something, I believe, next week that will be very, very illuminating and enlightening for people. I believe it'll be next week. At the latest, it'll be the week after. And the week after ends with the live stream world premiere of the movie, The Deep Rig. So this week you had something exciting. Next week, I think you have something exciting. And then the following week ends with the premiere of The Deep Rig, and I hope people of the movie, and I hope people really, if you want to do something, people are always saying, oh, I don't know how to push back. I don't know what it's been jujitsu. You don't know how to fight back. The America Project is giving you ways to fight back. Here's a way to fight back. Organize a little viewing of this movie. Have 10 friends over, make some popcorn, make $50. But people have a way, and your next step, I'm giving it to people paint by the number. I mean, like, people are always saying they feel so helpless that I hear this feeling of helplessness is always being described to me. We built the America Project so people have a way to jujitsu their way out of this. Join the America Project and take part in the world premiere of, we're going to have 20,000 people have signed up to do it so far, Tracy, by the way, or have expressed an interest, signed up and expressed an interest in holding little parties where they show this video. We want thousands, tens of thousands of little parties across America where this is being shown.
Yeah, like
so. That's what people can do.
Cut them out of the big Hollywood, big entertainment out of the picture. Show this to your friends and neighbors. People who may not be as informed, let them see what's been going on and go to the America Project. What is it? It's theamericaproject.com, correct?
Theamericaproject.com, yes. Or theamericaproject.com, it all funnels the same place. And thedeeprig.movie. And this is how you fight back. And we're not asking you to spend a dime. If you want to take part in showing the movie, we have a way you can make some money. Hold showing of the movie. But this is a way people are always wringing their hands and they don't know how to fight back. This is how you can fight back. We built this for you.
Awesome. Patrick, thank you so much for spending a half hour with us today. I appreciate you. Uncover DC will keep on pushing out on this lawsuit and anything else that you guys do so that our readers are informed and can make good decisions accordingly. Thank you so much.
Great to have you again, Pat.
Frank, Tracy, it's always an honor. I look forward to being back on your show. There'll be more news soon.
Hey, I will have you back anytime.
Thank you
so cool. And there he goes, Patrick Byrne.
There he went.
He left. He left. He hung up.
And with that, the week leaves.
The week leaves. We have a nice weekend.
Tracy has a date with the BBC.
Help me.
Man, I'll be on the lookout for any kind of headlines. I can just imagine. BBC exclusive. Tracy Beans, eugenicist, genocidal maniac exposed. Tracy Beans gets real about her plans to take over the world.
God. We'll see what happens.
Tracy Beans with her plans to poison the water supply of Florida. Exposed.
You're so creative, Frank. So creative. Yeah. Oh, goodness. All right. Well, you have been listening to the Dark to Light podcast with...
Thank God it's Friday, Val, and...
Beans! You can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time at TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and RadioInfluence.com. Until Monday.
Later.
Radio Influence strives to bring you excellence in podcasting. We work with radio personalities like Ian Beckles and DJ Eakin, news and political pundits like Frank and Tracy Beans, experts from the sports world like veteran football scout and coach Chris Landry, MMA experts Jason Floyd and Daniel Galvan, and strength and conditioning coach Jeff Crochelle, and more. If you're looking for food, sports, music, entertainment, politics, no matter the topic, Radio Influence has something for everyone. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Podcasts, and RadioInfluence.com.